1 hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's a game day from the Scotiabank Saddledome, and once again, a tough test for the Calgary Flames as we welcome you into another edition of Hockey Central at Noon. Pat Steinberg along with you as we get set for the Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at 7 o'clock tonight here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, on television on Sportsnet Flames. We've got it for you with a 6 o'clock Flames warm-up, and then, of course, the puck drops just after 7 o'clock. Tonight's game brought to you by South Point Toyota Scion, and here's what we can tell you about the lineups. I guess you could say more bad news on the injury front for the Flames, because once again, David Jones and Chris Russell will miss out. I guess I say it's bad news just because they haven't returned, and every game you play specifically without Russell, and that's not even any disrespect to Jones, it's just that without Russell, the Flames lose a pretty important game breaker on their team, a guy who makes a difference seemingly each and every night, and you take him out of the equation, it's a different Flames teams. So Chris Russell will miss his second game with a lower body injury, and we're not sure what the status is there. He's classified as day-to-day, so I guess that gives you the idea that it's not too long-term a thing, and yet you're still a little bit worried. It's an upper body injury for David Jones. He's been placed on retroactive IR, retroactive to the game that it happened in Saturday against the Ottawa Senators, so he will also be out of the lineup tonight. So what does that mean? Things look like this evening? Well, kind of a mishmash. This is what lines look like at practice, no guarantee. This is what they'll look like tonight. Sean Monahan between Curtis Glencross and Lance Boma. You've got Marcus Granlund, Johnny Gaudreau, and Yuri Hudler together. That's not going to change, and I don't think the line of Juris, Berchi, and Byron is going to change either. The fourth line had Michael Ferland in the middle with Devin Setoguchi and Brandon Bolig. Not sure if that's going to stick either. Ferland makes his return to action after missing the last 8 games with a concussion. He was injured on Halloween in that game against the Predators when Anton Volchenkov put the high hit on him. Volchenkov subsequently suspended 4 games. On the back end, Brody Giordano stick together. Ladislav Schmid will move up and play with Dennis Wiedemann once again, which leaves Rafa Diaz on the third pairing with Derek Engelin. That's what we're talking about in terms of the lineup tonight. Jonas Hiller gets the start in net, his second consecutive, and it's another really tough test for the Flames. The Blackhawks are playing much better hockey. It's been a pretty pedestrian start by their standards, as they're only 3 games above 500 as they approach the quarter pole of their season. But they've won 3 of their last 4 and 4 of their last 6 games heading into tonight. And I think the ideal from a Flames perspective would be to maybe not follow the same script as you followed on Tuesday night. Not to say that Tuesday wasn't impressive, not to say that they weren't deserving on Tuesday, not to say Tuesday wasn't a really fun finish, but I think ideally, more often than not, you'd rather play a better 60 minutes. Because over 60, I mean, the Anaheim Ducks really controlled the 2/3 of that hockey game before the Flames put their push on in the third. And the resiliency of this team is great, but to always be in the spot where you're trying to come from behind in period number 3 is not your ideal. So Calgary looking for a much better 60-minute effort tonight against a very good Chicago Blackhawks team, a team that was a Western Conference finalist 1 year ago and, of course, won the Stanley Cup in 2013. All that said, I think it's going to be a fun game tonight. All that said, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised if the Flames are right there with Chicago and we've got a close game on our hands. Regardless, Calgary's already made this a successful homestand in terms of points. They'll look to go a perfect 4-for-4 on this 5-game homestand, which concludes on Saturday night. Let's hear from the head coach of the Flames. Bob Hartley spoke this morning, and lots to get into with the head coach. He starts by giving us a little bit more of an update on both Chris Russell and David Jones.
They're both out. Like, they're improving, but with their injuries, we're not gonna take any chances. We're gonna do what's best for them. They're two big guys, part of, you know, like, they're two big parts of our lineup. So, you know, we would love to have them in, but at the same time, you know, like, it open doors to other guys for, you know, like, added responsibilities, and, you know, like, that's our approach. So, like, you know, we'll take care of them, like, and, you know, like, I Like if I listen to my medical staff, like they're day to day, so it's nothing. They're in the gym and they're close, but they're not good enough.
Michael Ferland, he looks like he's almost ready. Can you?
Yeah, Ferland's going to be in the lineup tonight. I want to get him back going. I think that he came a long way, so he deserves to play, and it's a good challenge for him tonight.
Where do you plan on using him tonight?
I'm not quite set yet on all my lines, so we're gonna wait and see. I have some juggling to do this afternoon there. I'll look at my combinations and by warm up we should be set.
What do you hope to see out of him? He had his NHL debut and unfortunately ended a little bit early.
Yeah, just bring your game. Obviously it was not the greatest setup for your first NHL game to leave with a concussion, but that's the game, and he's trained hard. We worked a lot on his skating and about his pace, and he understands that part of the game. We're playing a high tempo game, and we want our guys to be skating. We want to be imposing our own rhythm. We never want to respond to your team. We want to play our game.
The Hawks fired 50 shots at you in Chicago. Obviously, that's not the recipe for success. How can you, as a group, maybe change that somewhat tonight?
Discipline. Discipline is the key. If we remember, we took quite a few penalties in the first period. Then you don't want to give momentum to a team like this. We want to match toe to toe with them, and we will have to be very disciplined to stay out of the box.
What has Brendan Boley brought to this team?
Boles, great, unbelievable team guy, big up and down winger, rugged left winger that can play good minutes for us, tough minutes. He's an up and down guy, it's just like for any new guys joining a team, you always have to find your spot, and right now I think that he knows how we work, how we prepare, he's fitting in nicely, so great team guy, he's a nice addition to us.
Is this another test in terms of playing another strong team? Some people try and point to the schedule. Do you guys look at it as another, I guess, stomping or test or proving ground?
It's game seven. It's game seven of our segment number three. So that's what we look at it, because like I said yesterday, tell me how many easy games there is in an 82 game schedule. They're all tough games. The day that you're not ready, the day that you're not skating, whoever you play, you're not going to win. They're a great hockey club, great players, Stanley Cup champions a few years ago, but at the same time, we focus on our team.
Overall, I know you concentrate one game at a time, but now that we're at the quarter pool, is it fair to say that this team has had great timing, good, excellent goaltending at the beginning of the season, still good goaltending, but the scoring has come as well? Is it fair to say how different facets of the game has stepped up for this team with the success you've had?
I believe the beauty of our team is it's almost a tag team wrestling. It seems that when one line is down, the three other lines will be going. We've got great consistency from our blue line. You look at our goaltending, Hills and Rams, gave us great minutes. But to your point, you're right. It seems that we always find a different way. It seems that it's not always the same actors that, are on the main stage. And I really believe that, in a real short time, management have done an unbelievable job of restocking, our depth chart and looking at our situation right now. We didn't miss a beat since the start of the year because of the depth that we have in our organization and the leadership. I feel privileged because I'm coaching a great bunch of guys, who are committed and it seems that every challenge is we always find a way to step in and get the job done.
Bob, did you envision Marcus Granlund being nearly a point of game guy? I know that he has a pretty complete game in the defensive zone and through the neutral ice, but all of a sudden he's almost a point-a-game guy. I mean, why do you think he's been able to achieve that?
Well, first, I'm starting to figure out, like, it's my second camp with Granny, and I'm figuring out that he's not a great training camp guy. You know, like, he had, like, an average training camp, just like he did last year. We called him up last year, and wow. And so I remember telling him, like, you know, go back, because obviously we didn't have a jersey for him at that time. But I told him, I said, you know, I know that you'll get back, and you're going to do a great job for us. His hockey sense is way above average. Like, this kid is a real smart hockey player. Pretty strong for his size. Like, you know, like, you look at him, he's not like a 6'3 centerman, but he's strong on the puck. He makes great decisions. He's a good competitor. Plus, you know, like, he has a good nose around the net. So, like, he doesn't shy away from the tough areas, and that's why he's collecting points. So I think that a guy that deserves lots of credit, and we don't talk about him often enough, to my taste, is Jiří Hudler. He does a great job babysitting his two young brothers, little Johnny and Granny. They're always around Jiří. You see Jiří in the room, like, he has those little meetings with them and Aang. So, like, they can certainly learn from Jiří being around them. But, Granny has been, like, a big player for us.
You had a great third period in overtime the other day. Fair to say you'd be happier if you didn't have to wait 40 minutes to see that.
Yeah, but you don't always decide how games go. You know, like, if games would always go your way, it would be boring at the end. Like, we always have to adjust, like, respond, and those are the words that we use a lot on our team. If everything would work as a plan, like, you know, it would be too easy, you know, and we're playing against NHL players, we're playing against NHL teams, so they have the same mindset as us, and at the end, they have the same goal, they want the 2 points, so, every win, sometimes, there's different recipes for those wins, and obviously, we took, like, a pretty exciting one the last game, and, if that case may be the same thing tonight, well, let's do it the same way. But, obviously we're always looking for a full 60-minute effort.
That is the head coach of the Flames, Bob Hartley, as we get set for tonight's game between the Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks. I like that answer that Bob Hartley gives right at the end there. Yeah, we'd like to have a little bit more of a better 60 minutes, but sometimes you don't always decide these things. And, it's a good way to go about it, because sometimes your ideal game plan isn't going to come to fruition the way you want it to. But that doesn't mean that you don't do everything in your power to still find a way to win. And that's one thing the Flames have done a pretty decent job at this year. Even when things have not gone their way, even when things have been a little bit off script as to how they'd like it to happen, they've found ways to stay in games, and more often than not in those games, they've found ways to win them. We'll see if that's the case tonight when they take on the Chicago Blackhawks. Once again, a 7 o'clock start on Sportsnet Flames and Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Our pregame show, Flames Warm-Up, starts at 6 o'clock here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. More on this one tonight around the corner with Peter Labardius, but right now we go off the ice with Strombo and Merrick. This is Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home for the Flames, Hitmen, Blue Jays, and more. Get your play-by-play right here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Off the ice with Strombo and Merrick. Brought to you by Rogers NHL Game Center Live.
Maybe due to holidays, maybe due to key dates on the NHL schedule that bias certain teams on certain nights, today we ask, are there days the NHL shouldn't play games? Stay tuned.
People ask me, hey Messier, what's the next big thing in hockey? That's easy. Rogers NHL Game Center Live. Live stream over 1,000 games so you can follow your team and catch the games that matter to you. They didn't have that when I played. And if you're a Rogers internet or wireless data customer, you get a free subscription until December 31st, 2014 to Rogers NHL Game Center Live. Learn more at rogers.com/NHL.
Hey, George, for me, it's trade deadline because there are so many players changing jerseys, changing teams, changing uniforms, changing teammates. To me, that seems the one day where the NHL should just say, there's a lot of players in new outfits today. Let's not play so the competitive balance isn't shifted dramatically. What about you? Where are you at with days the NHL shouldn't play?
Jeff, I'm the opposite. On trade deadline day, I think the league should provide private jets so that the moment that player is traded, he's got to make it to that game that night. How exciting. A full day of hockey. The only 2 days that I think that there shouldn't be hockey is New Year's Eve, because obviously, give us the day. Let's go have a little bit of fun. And Valentine's Day, because I'm sick and tired of seeing the TV cameras cut to one person wearing a jersey and their bored date. The one person who thinks they're going to go get dinner, they're going to have a wonderful night, maybe he or she are going to pop the question, but no, taking me to a Dallas Stars Columbus Blue Jackets game. Thanks, honey. I love you, too. That's
Wait
the
a minute.
Only so night that I think the NHL should give him a break.
So you're taking that bullet out of the date chamber. You can't take your significant other, your loved one, to a date on Valentine's Day in the NHL, according to you?
Definitely not. No Valentine's Day. Put two on Thanksgiving, put two on Christmas when we can all watch as a family, but Valentine's Day, leave them alone.
He's Mr. Romance, folks, George Trombopoulos.
Mobile, magazine, TV, online, and on your radio. Sportsnet 960. The Fan. Listen like never before. This is Hockey Central at Noon with Pat Steinberg on your home of the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey Central is brought to you by Boston Pizza.
All right, Flames game day continues as we're live at the Scotiabank Saddledome. The Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks. My name is Pat Steinberg. Peter Lavardius, the color voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us as well. And after a tough test against the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday, would this also qualify as a big boy game?
This is a different big boy game. And I don't even know if I would put it in that same class, because when I talk about big boy games, I always think about big, strong, physical teams. This is a world-class opponent, for absolute sure. You can take that 10-7-1 and throw it right you know where. This is a fabulous hockey team. And I even asked Patrick Kane about it moments ago, and I think it's a factor. This team plays late into the year every year, it seems, and has for a long time. Do not mistake this start. Good teams, what do they know? They get up for good teams, and they know when it's important to be good. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the year, you won't have to worry about this group. They're too talented. They're too well led by players who know how to do one thing, win. So, yes, this is a huge test tonight.
And they're playing a whole lot better as well. They've won three of their last four games, four of their last six. I think they're starting to find their stride. Remember, they're still playing without Patrick Sharp.
And that's a huge loss.
It is. I mean, he's a really important part of what they do. And more than just the what the points would suggest. Like, he's a really big part of that on-ice dynamic and the way they go about things. So no Sharp. He's day-to-day right now with his injury, but doesn't seem like he's too far from returning right now. You had said when we had talked about this on Tuesday, one of the teams, if not the team, that you enjoy watching the most. What about the Blackhawks makes them so enjoyable from your standpoint to watch?
Well, I love their style of play. And I love their skill level, and I'm not going to lie. They just happen to have some of my favorite players. Jonathan Toews is, I'm not sure if I was starting a franchise today that I wouldn't put him right at the top of the list. And Patrick Kane, you know, and I always have a lot of fun with passports and, you know, him being from the United States. But to win in this league, when it matters, I'll take that guy any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I love big game people who are so comfortable and so good on the big stage. And that's what I like about this group. When you look at Keith, when you look at Seabrook on the back, when you look at some of their top-end forwards, and the one player I've really grown to enjoy as his career has gone on, and I've watched him for, you know, I say 100 years all the time. Sometimes it feels that way. Marian Hossa kind of slides in behind those upper echelon players. He is a fabulous hockey player. So I do. I love watching this group go about their business.
Yeah, and there's no doubt it's a tough test tonight. There's no doubt this is not going to be an easy game. And the one thing I had said a little earlier, and Bob Hartley addressed it today in his scrum, yeah, ideally you'd rather have a different script play out tonight. I don't think you want to be limited to seven shots through 40 minutes and be down 2-0 after two periods of play. But sometimes that's dictated by the other team. I guess the main thing is the Flames are looking for a better 60 minutes tonight as they get set for the Chicago Blackhawks. And that's not even to say they played poorly against Anaheim, but I do think that is one of their focuses heading into tonight.
Looking back at Anaheim is an interesting animal, if you will. Even through 40 minutes, Pat, the Flames didn't give up a whole lot. So they're defending as a group right now really well. But it was really difficult, as well as the Ducks played, to generate a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago plays a very different style. They're not going to grind you into the floor, but they're going to come at you in waves, and they're going to skate, and they're going to be active. And so they can beat you in a different way. I think the style that Chicago plays in some ways fits how the Flames want to go about their business. But here's the problem. They have people that can tear you from limb to limb when you make errors. And that is what makes this such a dangerous, dangerous group to play.
Yeah, and I mean, they sometimes are patient enough to wait for you to make mistakes on the other side.
Well said. They are a great team. Because the Chicago Blackhawks, in my estimation, are almost in a class unto themselves. You want to play a patient game? Sure, they'll do that. You want to play a racetrack game? They'll do that. You want to play a big boy game? Yep, they'll do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure there's a lot of other teams. You know, other teams are great teams. The team we saw here a couple nights ago, they really impressed me. Really, really impressed me. I really like the top four or five teams in this conference. They're fabulous teams. Fabulous teams. And they're, in my estimation, one of them. But you're right. They can play it any way you want to play it.
Well, and speaking of different scripts, you kind of want a different script to play out than the last time you played them, too.
Oh, you don't want that. And it starts with, can you have the puck? See, that's what this group does to you with their speed and the way they attack. You'll take more penalties because of how they threaten you with their speed and skill. They are a really hard group to defend, and they can come at you. I think one of the reasons, Pat, in preparing for this game pretty diligently the last 2 days, is some of their, if you will, third and fourth line players haven't quite contributed at this point the way I thought they might. Take Ben Smith for an example. Okay, people don't talk about him, and I thought he was great in the game. I thought he was one of the best Hawks in the game against Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, that Smith-Carcillo line throughout the course of that night on October 15th, they were no fun to deal with. And don't be surprised if that's kind of the case again tonight, because this team continues to be hard to match up against. But the last time I checked, Ben Smith has one goal. You know, he had 14 goals last year and in a career year. So, you know, there's certainly some reasons. But this is, anybody who thinks this one is going to be any easier, forget it.
Yeah, and I don't think if the Hawks get 50 shots again,
they're not going
to
score one goal.
He's Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And one of the guys that I thought was Calgary's best player in that game against Chicago October 15th, not in the lineup
tonight.
That would
be Michael Backlund, I'm guessing.
No, I was thinking Chris Russell. I really liked Russell that game again. You know, the Hawks were so much better than the Flames that day, but I thought Russell was one of Calgary's best players, and you know, he's consistently one of Calgary's best players and will not be in the lineup tonight.
Second game he'll miss with a lower body injury. Bob Hartley says day-to-day and that he's close and isn't that far off, but you're a little worried about this one for a few different reasons.
I am, and I just think that Chris Russell doesn't get enough credit for what he brings to this group. And again, it's not to take anything away from the top guys. They're the best pair. They're, you know, how about tonight? We get a game tonight where we get to feast our peepers on two of the best pairings in hockey. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
But Seabrook and Keith, Brody and Giordano. Yeah.
Chris Russell, in many ways on that back end, is the glue guy. He's right in the middle of it. He's the number three guy on your defense. He allows Dennis Wiedemann to go about his business in an offensive way. He's a catalyst in helping you break out of your own zone. He reads the game back there as well as anybody on this team, and he gives you two excellent pairings. Bill Peters, I'm so lucky in what I get to do for a living because I learn so much when we chat with other coaches, and I'm lucky to have known a few. When Bill Peters talked about the Flames, he said in every team on defense, you kind of have to have that one guy that gives you a pairing. You need the one guy, and then the other guy kind of feeds off him. Chris Russell gives you that second solid pair of defensemen. And right. I'm not taking anything away from Dennis. Dennis has been excellent lately. He has been excellent. But I don't see him having a chance long-term to be as successful back there without Chris, because his responsibilities have to change. So, you two guys on this team I would never want to see gone for a long time. Mark Giordano and Chris Russell. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see anybody gone for a long time. But those are two guys that when I see them get nicked up, you kind of get that awful feeling right in the pit of your stomach.
Well, and the thing about Russell is, I mean, he's one of those guys who has consistently taken it upon himself to make a difference. Like, he in games where things aren't going Calgary's way, or in periods where things aren't going Calgary's way, he does that. He makes plays. He does things that can turn a game on a dime, and he's a very, very important player on this team because of that, on top of the things that you just mentioned, which I absolutely believe are all valid and accurate too.
Chris Russell to the Calgary Flames, and I'm glad they're playing the Hawks for this very reason. Does anybody talk enough about Nicklas Hjalmarsson? Chris Russell to the Calgary Flames is what Nick Hjalmarsson is to the Chicago Blackhawks. Even though they're different in terms of their roles, you know, he and Oduya are the, you know, real shutdown pairing over there, mm-hmm. by and large. But he is an enormous piece and a huge part of their success. They would really miss him if he was gone. And they had to go through that last year for a while. So it's interesting they're playing Chicago, because I see Chris in that same type of vein as how important that player is to the other team, that gives them two terrific pairings.
So that means Rafa Diaz again comes in on the blue line. What'd you make of him against the Ducks on Tuesday night?
What I've made of him a lot. I really have enjoyed certain moments, and at other times you want him to be better. I like having him in the lineup if Chris can't play tonight because of his mobility.
Right.
Against this team with that group of forwards, I want as much mobility in my lineup on the back as I can possibly get. And give Ladislav Schmid some credit the other night. Now, again, I think playing against Anaheim in some ways is a better fit for his skill set than playing against this Chicago team with how they go about their business.
Yeah, that's fair.
But Laddie's a veteran, and so we'll see. You're going to see a real interesting, my guess is, and nobody said this, you're going to see a very interesting utilization of the Flames' back end. Jacques Cloutier might be the busiest guy in the whole rink. Jacques will feel like he's had a workout when this game is over.
No Jones either. He's been placed on retroactive IR, retroactive, I believe, to the Saturday game against the Ottawa Senators when he was hurt. So he'll miss his second consecutive game with an upper body injury for David Jones. And no word on what the severity is there. And I'm not even quite sure exactly what happened. But again, too bad to see Jones out of the lineup. But it does give the option for the Flames to put in Michael Ferland. He's missed the last eight games with a concussion suffered on Halloween against the Nashville Predators. So Ferland gets back in tonight, and good for him. His NHL debut didn't even last a full game. So this is really cool, and I'm, again, very curious to see how Michael Ferland plays in his first game in about 3 weeks.
And I like this opportunity for him because it won't go hand in hand with all the storytelling, all the emotion for a young guy who's come so far, not only in his hockey career, but in his overall life. Tonight, he can probably sleep this afternoon. It's going to be different for him. And yet, Pat, again, a real opportunity. And what a way to judge a young player. What a great learning experience, again, for a young player than to be matched against one of the true elite powerhouses in the National Hockey League. I love it. I love seeing those types of players against this competition because you find out a lot, even though you can't judge people on one or two games. But if Michael Ferland can be a successful contributing player on a night like tonight, you're going to see him in the lineup again on Saturday.
Well, you make a good point about the there's nowhere near as many distractions, right?
Nope.
Now he's been with the team for a little while. All that stuff is he can just focus
go
on
play
playing hockey.
Hockey
tonight.
Go play hockey.
Yeah.
Be a big body. Move your feet. The one thing Bob Hartley has said after the concussion is, again, with Michael Ferland, up the pace of your game, son. Up the pace of your game. But when this guy comes to the rink and skates and is physical and shoots it, he can be a force. He can be a force. We're about to find out, can he be a force in a game like tonight? And can he do, with his time, what the likes of Josh Juris in particular has done? Marcus Granlund's never going back. He's been that good. This guy's so smart, it's ridiculous.
I'm not sure Josh Juris is,
and I'm
is
not
going
sure
back.
He, no, I agree with that. I really do. So can you make it even more difficult for the whole organization? Because they like this player. They want it to work with this player because they see tools. 6'3", 210 pounds, has good hands. Can you get them at the proper pace and keep them right down the side of the track that you want them to be down?
Yeah. So that's the deal when it comes to tonight's game. The Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks, in Lou's words, a big boy game tonight. It's 7 o'clock start. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960.
A different big boy game, though.
Bye, Lou.
Bye.
He's the color voice of the Calgary Flames. Peter Labardius, we'll hear from him again on Flames warm-up at 6 o'clock. SportCheck Zone tickets are the best value in the city. Doesn't matter what the game, doesn't matter who the opponent, $30 for the SportCheck Zone. You can pick them up at any Calgary SportCheck store or win them on the fan club, sportsnet.ca/960. But why not go to a Battle of Alberta game or a game against the Canucks, a game against the Penguins, whomever it might be. $30 tickets in the Sport Check Zone at any Calgary Sport Check store. A new member of the Calgary Hitmen just happens to be a familiar name to Flames fans. That's next as we continue on Hockey Central at noon. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
If it's on the 200 by 85, it's right here first. Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Central at noon continues only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is the Flames and the Chicago Blackhawks tonight at 7 o'clock as we welcome you back to Hockey Central at noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza, but we'll change it up from the NHL to the Western Hockey League, where, funny enough, the Flames certainly were interested in a deal that was made yesterday
by their junior team. Of course, the Flames own the Calgary Hitmen, and the Calgary Hitmen swung a pretty big deal in the Western Hockey League yesterday, acquiring Flames 2013 third-round pick Keegan Kanzig from the Victoria Royals in exchange for Greg Chase. Now, a few picks were involved in this one as well, but the principal pieces, Greg Chase, who has requested a trade recently, traded to Victoria, and Keegan Kanzig comes back the other way. The hulking defenseman who had been patrolling Dave Lowry's blue line for the longest time and intimidating every forward in the Western Hockey League now joins the Calgary Hitmen. So that was a big move made yesterday by the 11-8-3 Calgary Hitmen as they get set for a very busy weekend. We're going to hear from Keegan Kanzig. He's going to join us live on the Hot Stove Lounge after 2 o'clock with Robbie and I. But right now, let's hear from the head coach of the Hitmen, Mark French, in conversation with Brad Curl about a big move made last night.
Mark, we'll start with the talk of the town. A Flames prospect comes to the Hitmen. You don't see it that often, but tell me about the acquisition of Keegan Kanzig and what he means to your blue line.
Well, I think, first of all, I think we've got a lot of the guys on our defensive corps so far this year. I've been really happy with the progress of some of our younger D. But I think from the organization standpoint, I think it was in the minds of not only the coaching staff and management as well that at some point in time we were going to probably add an older D with some physical presence, and certainly double check mark there, an older D and physical presence comes to the table with the player we added. So, we're pretty happy to get a D that I think fits into our D core very well.
Any idea where he fits in right now, whether it be top two, top four, or where you plan to use him?
Yeah, I think in talking with Brent Kissio a little bit, I think we're going to allow that to unfold. I think we see him as a shutdown type of defenseman, a guy that we'll see a lot of visiting teams' best players. I think he's a stopper, a guy physically that will be hard to play against. Probably a defense-first type of guy who will fit into that role very well. So who he pairs with, we're not quite sure right now. But again, I think we see pretty clear where his role is going to be.
How nice is it to have a weapon where on the other side, if you're, for example, an under 6-foot hockey player, there's got to be some intimidation there, the willingness to go to the front of the net and compete with a guy like Keegan.
You think that we want to really defend that area, our slot area. We want to do it with bodies. I think it's helpful when you have bodies that maybe inflict a little bit of force, for lack of a better term. And, it's just, I guess, natural that if you're taking some punishment going there, you're more reluctant to go to those places. So hopefully adding a player of his stature and his edge, we can make that a hard place to go.
Tell me about your forward group, because minus Greg, there's no question you lose some offense there, but I really like what I've seen from your group this year in terms of guys, as we often see in junior hockey, 1 year later can make a big difference, and you've seen an awful lot of young players come to the table and produce for you.
Yeah, I think that's been really positive. I think those guys, just to speak on the young players, they've got such a high ceiling, and you see such an improvement with them that maybe they're key to the improvement of your team because they have such a high ceiling where they can attain it to. And we've seen balanced scoring throughout our lineup. I think more recently we've seen some really nice things develop. I think the line of Fizlayev, Karnikov, and Rankin have found some chemistry, and almost on a nightly basis, I should probably knock on wood, they've been very, very good. I think Adam Tambellini and Jake Virtanen and Keaton Helgeson have been quietly good. Their process has been good, and I think they're playing well. It's just not going in for them right now, but I think they're a dangerous line with a lot of experience and a lot of dynamic quality to it. I think Langer and Peterson can really fill a role. I think we're looking for that guy who can kind of complement those two guys. And then we've got a bunch of guys who've really pushed for ice time. You look at Terrell, Taylor Sanheim, Carson Tawinski, Beck Malenstein. You can throw all those guys into the mix, and they've done a real good job when they've been in the lineup for us.
Finally, for you, set us up for this weekend, 3-3, home to Moose Jaw on Friday, and then home and home with Red Deer. In Red Deer Saturday, home to the Rebels on Sunday, and a team right now you're fighting for second place in the division with.
Well, and I think the danger right now is to overlook the Moose Jaw game. They're a team that you know, we weren't happy with our last game against them. We thought, you know, they were fully, you know, deserving of the victory, but we weren't happy with our game. So payback should be on our mind in terms of dealing with Moose Jaw first. I don't think there's any way avoiding that. We know we've got two big matchups against Red Deer. But again, I think it's very important that we focus on Friday's game, and then we'll deal with Red Deer following those games.
Thanks for this, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
He is Mark French, the head coach of the Calgary Hitmen, in conversation with Brad Curl. This is the Western Hockey League Insider here on Hockey Central at noon, and a big move made by the Calgary Hitmen yesterday. They've acquired Keegan Kanzig from the Victoria Royals in exchange for Greg Chase. Again, Bantam draft picks involved in that as well. Two picks going to Victoria. Calgary gets one pick the other way. But the interesting thing from just a Calgary sports fan perspective is Flames pick Kanzig joins the Calgary Hitmen in the Western Hockey League as we welcome in the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, Brad Curl, to the Western Hockey League Insider. And this is kind of a first for the Calgary Hitmen. It's not the first time they've had a Flames prospect playing for the Hitmen, but I believe it's the first time they've actually gone out and acquired one. Is that right?
That is correct. The name you mentioned is Brent Cron when he was drafted back in 2000. But this is the first time they've actively gone out and pursued a Calgary Flames prospect. Now, the big question I got, and a lot of people are asking, did the Flames ask the Hitmen to make this deal? No, not at all. It's ironic because there's actually been more Edmonton Oilers prospects playing for the Calgary Hitmen than there have been Flames. It just so happens to work out from an organizational standpoint that they needed a rugged defenseman, and Keegan Kanzig fits that mold. Now, the one thing I'm hearing automatically from teammates of the Calgary Hitmen of Kanzig, they're saying, boy, we feel a little taller today. We
yeah,
feel a little tougher
you
on the ice today. And that's the one thing that Kanzig brings to the dressing room. He's got no flash, no glare to his game. He's just a tough, mean competitor to play against. And I know the Calgary Flames are very excited about his future. Well, the Calgary Hitmen are very excited about what he brings to the lineup immediately. You could just see it in the eyes of Mark French, the head coach, just light up when he talked about him. They haven't had that on their blue line this year. That's been the one missing element, and it's been a team that's been spoiled, I would suggest, over the previous years of having that element in an Alex Roach or a Jaden Risling. And before that, they also had rough physical customers. Johnny Boychuk was one back when he played, just a real hard-nosed defenseman to play against. So I think this is a great fit for Calgary. And they make a move that allows them to insert some of the younger players into the slot. And what I mean by that is Greg Chase, I don't think you can replace Greg Chase and his 35 goals. He's almost a game breaker in the Western Hockey League. But they have this committee approach. So what we've seen since the whole situation developed when Greg asked for the trade, the Calgary Hitmen haven't lost a game. And they've scored at least 4 goals in every one of those games. So are they hurting offensively? No. So this is a trade that works, I think, for everybody.
Well, and the thing about Kanzig is, and obviously from a Flames perspective, they're looking at one thing, but from a strictly Hitman perspective, you put Kanzig in on that blue line, I mean, you're right, not only does he brings that kind of big, rugged defenseman, but Brad, he might be the most intimidating player in the Western Hockey League. When you take the guy, looks like he could be a bouncer at the Roadhouse, and he's 19 years old. Like he looks like he's been that size for about the last 6 years. Like that's an intimidating fellow.
Absolutely, and I was talking to it with a few of the media today who had talked to Bob Hartley about him, and Hartley saying that, hey, when we teach our young guys of how to handle themselves physically, their coach had never seen a physical specimen such as Kanzig. And that says a lot as to how mature he is. Generally in junior hockey, you see there's potential. It's all about potential projecting to the next level. He's NHL man body as a 19-year-old already. The only knock on Keegan Kanzig, and he'll tell you, is my foot speed. Need to get a little bit quicker.
Right.
But for a guy that is going to come in and eat an awful lot of minutes and work with a coaching staff, I really think that by the end of the year, this will look back on this day on the calendar and say, that was a perfect fit at the right time for this group.
He is Brad Curl. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the Western Hockey League Insider as part of Hockey Central at noon. And we'll get back to the Hitmen in just a couple of seconds. And we're going to hear from Keegan Kanzig coming up after 2 o'clock. He's going to join us live here in the Hot Stove Lounge. A couple of interesting ties to the Flames. Well, the one interesting tie to the Flames organization is that he was drafted by the team. But just some interesting things
to get into with Keegan Kanzig when he joins us live after 2 o'clock. Some other things going on around the Western Hockey League, including NHL Central scouting out with their November rankings, and this is for the upcoming 2015 draft, and certainly plenty of Western League flavor, including some Hitman flavor as well.
Yeah, 59 players earned the spotlight today from NHL Central scouting. The NHL draft, of course, will take place in Florida in the month of June. And what NHL Central scouting does, they rank them A, B, C, or limited viewing. A being that you're going to be a first-round potential candidate for the draft. B, second or third round. And C being any one of the remaining rounds. And limited viewing meaning that there might have guys that have had injuries or their scouting staff just hasn't got around to have enough good looks at them. So the Calgary Hitmen do have one player, and it's Pavel Kharnikov. And really, I think when you look back to the trade of Greg Chase that we just spoke of moments ago, this is one of the reasons why they could afford to give up a player such as Greg. Kharnikov has come in and lit the Western Hockey League on fire as a first-year player. He's got 10 goals, second in the league in that category. He's got a number of power play points. He's got the second most points of anybody in the WHL among rookies in scoring. So he's been real good this year. It surprises me that he's only a C, which projects to be a fourth round, fifth round, or sixth round. I think he'll climb the ranking. But around the Western Hockey League, there's an awful lot of A-rank players, which means potential first-round picks. So it's another great year for the Western Hockey League.
Yeah.
The number one developmental league for National Hockey League players is the Canadian Hockey League, and it looks as though the Western Hockey League will have at least five or six players taken in the first round of the draft. Some of the most exciting names that a lot of people are talking about, Ivan Provorov, the Brandon Wheat Kings, the import defenseman who has been absolutely sensational this year.
Can he skate?
Certainly can. Yeah. Certainly can. He's an A-rank skater. Also, Nick Merkley of the Kelowna Rockets getting an awful lot of buzz this year. He leads that team in scoring a potential first-round pick. And you look around the immediate area, the Lethbridge Hurricanes. We've talked about this franchise for a lot of years. It'll be about a struggling group. They've got three players listed among NHL Central scouting for the upcoming draft. So it's nice to see some of these young franchises make some steps forward. So 59 players to watch. A lot of scouting between now and the draft, though.
A former member of the Calgary Flames is back in the Western League again and adjusting to life in the dub again.
Yeah, his name is Mark Habscheid. Let's wind the clock back to 1991-92 when a 25-year-old Gary Roberts led the Calgary Flames in scoring. He had 53 goals that year, 90 points. A teammate of his was Mark Habscheid, and Habscheid is now the bench boss of the Prince Albert Raiders, taking over for the fired Corey Clouston. Interesting that the deal that was presented to Habscheid was one that I'm not sure a lot of coaches would have taken. It was just for the remainder of the season, meaning that Prince Albert, we want to evaluate you and see how it goes. Well, Habscheid not holding out any punches, basically saying he's learned an awful lot of life lessons. It's day to day, saying that all the time, that's the way you have to approach the world right now, confessing that a good friend of his is dying of pancreatic cancer, and it's really put his life in perspective of how to live in the moment of today and not so much about the future. But you look at his resume, and Mark Habscheid has had nothing but success. It's a tough spot in Prince Albert. Leon Draisaitl, as we all know, still up with the Edmonton Oilers, likely to stay, and just 2-4 record since taking over for Corey Clouston. So something to watch for Flames fans, a former alumnus, and Mark Habscheid now behind the bench of the Prince Albert Raiders.
Set us up for this coming weekend for the Calgary Hitmen. Moose Jaw tomorrow, then a home and home with the Red Deer Rebels. 3-3, so it's a busy weekend for the Hitmen and a busy weekend for the dynamic duo of Brad Curl and Ken Thrower.
Yeah, we'll have the call of two of the three games beginning tomorrow night, and it's as a dynamic of players you'll find in the Western Hockey League as Braden Point to the Moose Jaw Warriors. He is electrifying. He's all over the score sheet when Moose Jaw is in. He's involved in about 70% of their points, so he's real a game breaker. So the Warriors are in here, and I know Mark French saying he wasn't real happy the way they played Moose Jaw the last time on that East Division road trip. They lost the game, so they're hunting for some revenge. And he was concerned about maybe they'll look ahead to the Red Deer Rebels, because it's a team right now that Calgary, Edmonton, and Red Deer all fighting for, well, second spot in the Central Division. And the Hitmen, for sure, going to be excited having Keegan Kanzig in the lineup. He is expected to play this weekend and hit the ice Friday against Moose Jaw. But an interesting side note to all of this, and it ties into the Calgary Stampeders, is that Sunday's game was initially scheduled for 4 o'clock. It's been moved to 6 o'clock because, of course, the Stamps and the Eskimos on the turf for the Western Final over at McMahon at 2:30. Interesting tie into that as well. If you're going to the game, bring your playoff ticket from McMahon Stadium to the Saddledome box office and take part in a wicked deal. $5 will get you in to watch the Calgary Hitmen and the Red Deer Rebels.
So if you
Sunday
go to the West
six.
Final at McMahon, you got to pay $5 and that's it, and you go watch the Hitmen and Rebels on Sunday night.
Yeah, just bring your playoff ticket to the Saddledome box office. You get in for $5. A little doubleheader. Who wouldn't like that?
good stuff, and looking forward to a busy weekend for the Calgary Hitmen. Looking forward to Keegan Kanzig's debut on the Hitmen blue line tomorrow against the Moose Jaw Warriors. 7 o'clock start here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
By the way, he'll wear number 5. Got several tweets this morning saying, I've got to get my Kanzig Flames jersey or Hitmen jersey. He'll wear 5 in Calgary.
Okay, good to know. Thank you, Curly.
You're welcome.
He is Brad Curl. He's the voice of the Calgary Hitmen. That is the Western Hockey League Insider, and that wraps things up on Hockey Central at noon. Want to thank Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Flames as well, as we got plenty to get to as the big show kicks off in about 5 minutes. Baseball, football, more hockey. Big show starts next. This has been Hockey Central at noon for Boston Pizza on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.